This episode of GameScoop is sponsored by Squarespace. If you're looking for a way to make your business stand out and succeed online, Squarespace is the all-in-one website platform for you. They take the stress out of creating an awesome website, engaging with your audience, and selling anything from products to content to time, so you're able to focus on, you know, everything else. In other words, you'll have more time for gaming. With the new guided design system, you can choose from curated layouts and styling options to build a unique online presence from the ground up, optimized for every device. And with Squarespace's integrated, optimized SEO tools, you'll show up more often to more people. Squarespace doesn't just make things easier for you. Checkout for your customers is made seamless with simple but powerful payment tools that allow you to accept credit cards, PayPal, and Apple Pay, and in eligible countries, offer the option to buy now and pay later with Afterpay and Clearpay. So whether you're just starting out or looking to expand your existing brand, be sure to visit squarespace.com for a free trial, and when you're ready to launch, go to squarespace.com/gamescoop to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. That's squarespace.com/gamescoop for 10% off. You know, when it comes to wireless carriers, sometimes what you see isn't always what you get. Except with Visible. With Visible, what you see is exactly what you get. If you haven't heard of Visible, well, now you have. They're the wireless carrier that's making wireless visible. It's in the name. With Visible, there are no hidden fees, no fine print, no hassle, nothing to hide. It's just $25 a month, all taxes and fees included. And you don't need more than one line of wireless to save. You can save on a line all to yourself with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. And again, just $25 a month. The future of wireless is here, and it is transparent. If you want more transparency in your wireless plan, you want to be on the Visible plan. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com. That's Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com. What's up, everybody? Welcome to IGN GameScoop. I am your host, Damon Hatfield. With me this week is Greg Miller.
It's a piece of cake to bake a pretty cake.
Brian Altano is here. And Anthony Gallegos.
Hi.
Is also
no,
here.
No, you found it. Remember, they reminded you of your catchphrase.
Well, I forgot already.
I don't have a catchphrase.
Something like Chef Money. So Chef it up. Chef it up. That's it.
No, it's Chef it out.
Chef it out. Sorry. Chef
when
out.
When did we come up with this?
Oh, that was kind of, it came up years ago when I used to do podcasts, but then I just let it die.
Now it's back. Chef it up. Resurgence. It's Chef like when Degeneration out. X comes back every few years.
It's just like that.
Happy Friday, everybody.
This TGIF, am I right, Damon?
I know. This is a big week for gaming.
Yeah?
Lots of big games came out today.
Totes, Magoo.
Or not them, yeah. This week, overall. What's the matter, Anthony?
Anthony's not happy.
Yesterday,
he's looking for all the big games.
He's looking for a bag of open chips.
He's looking for that Hooters waitress girl from Knockin' Boots.
Yeah, there was a picture of her yesterday, and I just kept it right here, and I liked it.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess maybe one of the more sensitive podcasters here threw it away or something. I'm not sure. Anyway, big week of games. Skyrim is out today.
Boom.
That's what I'm going to be doing all weekend.
Me too.
Playing Skyrim. Modern Warfare 3 came out this week. You reviewed that, Anthony.
Yep. It's good. It's real good.
It's real good.
It sold a bunch of copies.
Sold like 10 million.
You gave it a 9, and we also gave Battlefield
a
9.
Where are you getting this 10 million figure?
I don't know. Isn't that what I thought I heard?
6.5 million copies
in
were
the US
sold
and UK.
In the US and UK in the first 24 hours. It made $400 million.
So that's not counting, Australia.
They come from a land on the
that's, yeah. And that's assuming that every one of those versions were the $60 one, which they weren't. Because a couple hundred thousand of them at least, were the like $150 version.
The one that came with the little booklet.
And the Year of Elite.
Yeah.
So, yeah, the biggest launch of anything ever.
Boom.
Yeah. Basically.
Who didn't predict that? Every year, it's the biggest launch.
Yeah, so it's we have a few stats here. It beat Black Ops by $40 million and beat Modern Warfare 2 by $90 million. So yeah, each one it just keeps getting bigger.
I bet next year it's the bigger one.
But that's what I wonder. Is it a bubble? Like, it has to stop at some point.
It's going
to
bell curve.
Is this the biggest one? Or will next year be even bigger?
Next year, we're going to fight on the moon.
I don't really see this as like the new Tony Hawk. They're not really...
No, it's not.
They're not really taking a lot of leaps in terms of what they're doing every year. Like, they have their idea. It's good. It's rock solid. It works. And people like it. They're not reinventing the wheel every year. And I don't think people want them to. So
no, but I just can't imagine... It just keeps selling more and more every year. Like...
Honestly,
it has to stop at some point.
Video games and movies tend to do really better during times of economic depression, too. Mm-hmm. And it's really shitty times. So I wonder if, like, when the economy starts turning around, if people will actually stop playing less. I know that sounds kind of far-fetched, but I'm saying that actually might not surprise me if when the world stops sucking so bad, people won't play as much Call of Duty.
I think it's all the people are just angry. They just want to shoot people.
Yeah. They well, good.
Play video game do it. Run around in circles and shoot people. Game. Yeah, good. Keep it there.
Activision CEO Bobby Kotick.
Kotick.
Claims. Is it pronounced Kotick?
I think it's Kotick.
He was too busy choking on money. That's what I picture him just swimming in money. In his room. He just can't get out.
The DuckTales theme song is just playing in this house all day. Swimming.
He claims that life-to-date sales for the Call of Duty franchise exceed the worldwide theatrical box office for Star Wars and Lord of the Rings.
I believe it.
Jesus.
Yeah.
Mm.
Sweet Jesus.
Call of Duty is a bigger deal than Star Wars.
Well, what are we supposed to do with that information? I'm not sure what to say.
I'm sorry.
To be fair,
yeah,
I'd rather play a Call of Duty game than watch the prequels.
Yeah,
the
so I'd rather play a Call of Duty game than play a Star Wars game.
And keep in mind, the Call of Duty games come out every year. Star Wars only came out once every few years, and the movie tickets don't cost the same.
Yeah. And just it just gives you perspective in terms
I'm fighting the fight for
worldwide, you know, cultural phenomenons.
Yeah,
stuff like that.
It's apples and oranges. Yeah, a few days ago, Scott Mucci tweeted, IGN had 50 times the visitors of Disneyland yesterday, and I retweeted that. Some kid was like, "Oh yeah, but I wonder how what the traffic would be if IGN charged $80 to come in." I'm like, okay, good point.
That's actually true. A good point, actually. Yeah.
But shut up, let me have something nice.
So the other thing is that's crazy is like, just you know, to go into the Star Wars thing is like Star Wars played in movie theaters worldwide, like in Russia, in like all kinds of crazy places. And Call of Duty functionally does not exist in a lot of places like Russia. And like Africa, there's like whole chunks of the world. China doesn't really play Call of Duty at all, so it's just interesting to think about how it's so huge and there's markets that are almost completely untapped.
Yeah,
as well.
And the entry fee is, you know, a next gen console and a game, and for the most people, an internet connection,
nice TV.
Yeah, nice TV. You need that. I forgot about that part.
Yeah.
Can't just
you came home with all those things. No, brap.
Just imagine in your head.
Yeah, the consensus, the critics' consensus seems to be that Modern Warfare 3 is good, getting very good scores. However, it has a surprisingly low user rating on Metacritic.
It's because of Battlefield fans.
And this has caused one of the developers from Sledgehammer Games to speak out and beg for help.
He asked. He politely asked.
Oh, okay, sorry. IGN says.
What?
IGN says he begged.
There is a kerfuffle on Twitter if you're not following it, ladies and gentlemen.
Am I missing a detail here?
Yeah, apparently. After we put up this article, that guy deleted the tweet and then responded saying, "I'm not begging. IGN's kind of taking it out of context. I wish they would have called me." And since then, we've reached out to him to actually talk to him.
I'm going to get shit for this, but, you know, for the amount of money that this big annual bravado action game balls-to-the-wall shooter makes and the amount of fame and stardom that these guys have, this is like if like once a year Superman was crying and he was like, don't make fun of me
again, you know. It's like we've heard from people, and more than likely bonuses are connected to
I mean, this guy's tweeting about Metacritic. Your game just made $400 million in a day. Who cares about Metacritic?
But I'm saying employee bonuses get tied to stuff like
that. Well, to user reviews? So I'm sorry if I'm offending anybody here. But who cares about user reviews?
Yeah, so I will say that like with user reviews on iTunes in particular, like that determines the placement that your thing gets.
That's a different story.
Yeah, please rate us on iTunes.
I know. There aren't professional reviews on iTunes.
No.
There's only user reviews. But in a place like Metacritic, the user reviews are so easy to control and game.
And that's the problem with
so
the system
right now. Why pay attention to it? Like, you have, you know, professional critics who their job is to evaluate the game. So, like, look at that score.
Exactly. Yeah. We're not saying you're a listener, friend. We're not saying your opinion doesn't matter. We're saying is that every time we put up a Battlefield trailer on IGN's YouTube channel, all it gets is thumbs downs from the Modern Warfare fans. And when we put up a Modern Warfare trailer, all it gets is thumbs downs from the Battlefield fans. There's just this
and you can do it with any sort of movement. Like, we can say right now in GameScoop, you know, listeners, IGN fans, go to Roger Ebert's website, pick the best movie he's ever reviewed, his most glowing review ever, and go in the comments and say this is trash.
Now go on iTunes and go to the comedy button and give them horrible reviews.
Please do. No, but the thing is that I feel like the reason this happens is because that user score review appears directly next to review from critics. Like, they appear directly next to each other on the website. So to the average consumer who's an idiot, like
I see.
Like, they might just see that number and be like, what?
See, that's what I took this as. Not so much oh my god, we need your help. It's him rallying his fan base. Hey guys, you're always fighting on the front lines for us against the Battlefield fans. Right now, we're getting, you know, sacked over here by them. Please go and help.
He didn't say write a good review. He said go and write. He asked, like, if you like it, be write honest, an honest yeah. review. Yeah.
Yeah.
They're not getting sacked. They have $400 million.
I know, but Anthony makes a good point that some random person, you know, I guess because that's what my mom does. She trolls Metacritic looking for reviews. <Yeah. laughs>
Does your mom have $400 million?
I wish.
The 360 version of Modern Warfare 3 has a 2.7 out of 10 user rating on Metacritic. PS3 version has a 2 out of 10, and the PC version has a 1.5 out of 10. So it is ridiculous.
Yeah.
You know?
It's ridiculous, obviously. I mean,
that's the problem with being a gaming system.
This is not Elf Bowling DS that made $400 million. And anyone can objectively look at this and say, yes, that is not a 2.7 out of 10. Like, this game would have to be functionally non-functional.
It's the same problem we have when we do the IGN things, right? Like, IGN user reviews would be, we'd have an exclusive review 3 weeks before the game would come out, and you'd give it an 8, 5, and 9 or whatever, and then the user review would be 2. Yeah. Because a bunch of people who don't like that system.
Because they played the screenshots.
Yeah. And let's face it, when it comes to Call of Duty in particular, everyone loves to shit on it. Because it is the most popular game out there.
It is. It's the same way, I mean, yeah.
I love to shit on it, but hell, it's a good shooter. It's a competent, like, the core gameplay is
Those guys have been doing it for a decade, and they know what they're doing.
Yeah.
And they
do
it really
well.
There's
no getting around that. If it's not your thing, that's fine. But it's not a terrible game. It's not a bad game.
Yeah,
no,
exactly.
It's just not.
Exactly.
They know what they're making, and they're good at making it at this point. And they do it well. Whether you like it or not, that's up to you. Take that to Metacritic. But
and what's going on with Elite?
Yeah, it's just a bad server planning on their part, and which
so they weren't ready for. You know, 6.5 million people to log on to Elite.
How many people bought this game?
Yeah, it could be.
Like, why were they being modest? They
not you know, but what I will say is that it sucks that Elite, you know, like I talk about in a review, and it is really cool, and I hope that everyone gets a chance to try it out soon because it's totally worth checking out. But that being said, at least it's not. I'm gonna troll people.
Oh no, here comes a troll.
At least it's not like Battlefield where you couldn't play the game for the first few days where it came out. Like this call, if anything, Call of Duty has been 100% playable since release. So the Elite stuff, an extra feature, might kind of suck for now, but the game has been perfectly fine. Which is this is like the first time. I feel like that's been true with Call of Duty, because usually so many people buy it, the Xbox Live, like, shits on itself for a while. PSN as well. It's just, like, it's laggy as shit, but this is just fine. So, I mean, kudos to them for at least having, you know, if anything, when you go to the Elite page, I think my friend Ryan said it's just, like, the note should just say, like, hey, oh, it's too bad you can't get an Elite, go play the fucking game. Like, enjoy yourself. It's awesome, and the game's awesome, so go play it. Like
it's
the
nice,
Elite
it's
stuff
nice when
will
you,
be there, and they gave everyone a month free for all the shitty service.
It's nice when you can buy a game and go home and play it. It's little things like that. You know?
Well, I mean, multiplayer is the main thing they want, and the multiplayer functions just fine.
I always sound like an old man, but this is why I love the 80s, because you could just go to the Toys R Us and, you know, buy Tetris and go home, and there was no patch.
There was
no
firmware. A day one Tetris patch.
Oh, the square blocks aren't working today, so give it a few days.
NES didn't have to install the game first.
It's true that people, you know, that was the mentality that PC gamers have had for a long time. Oh, it'll get patched, but it's interesting to see how that's come to console gamers. Like, even I was reading the official forums last night for the Modern Warfare 3 Wii game, and everyone's like, oh, don't worry, multiplayer will get patched soon.
Nope.
Like, wow.
No, that's just, that'll be what it is forever.
Yeah.
That's just the way it
forever.
Is.
Forever.
What is that from?
Forever.
The Sandlot.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, you think Elite is cool.
But
is it worth paying for?
I mean, the paid services are okay. Like, if you're going to be, like, a hardcore competitive player, I think it's worth paying for. Okay. If you're not going to be a competitive player, no, just take all the free services, because the only stuff you get through paying is basically the ability to create and manage clans, the ability to enter competitions that Activision puts together, and exclusive video content. So, but other than that, like, everything else is free. So I don't think I would. Oh, but I guess you also, to be fair, if you're going to buy all the map packs, it's worth it. Because the map packs are $15 each, so you're going to pay $60. But if you pay $50 for Elite for a year, you get all the map packs as well.
So yeah, pretty much everyone will buy this then.
Yeah.
That's nuts. They're just going to double their money on this. This is like selling heroin addicts, you know, nicer needles.
I'll sell you a year's supply of heroin right now.
And then the Wii version. You're working on that review, too.
The Wii version's crap. I wouldn't go so far, actually, to say is it's crap, but compared to the other versions, it's really not good. Right now, the multiplayer's a broken mess. And
you were telling, you were just saying the multiplayer was pretty cool.
No. So that was the thing, is like when we were playing it first at work, everyone has that. I had the same reaction everyone had, which is at first you're so blown away by the fact that they've made it content, like almost like content complete to the 360 version. That's really cool. But then when you spend more time with it, because I've stayed now with the multiplayer, I've probably spent like 5 hours or so.
Well, it's cool. It's cool in the way that it's kind of cool when you see a really old guy jogging.
Or it's like, yeah, exactly. Or,
what does that even mean?
I know what he means.
He's running and you're like, wow, that's pretty good work for an
good
old man.
Good on you, old man.
Exactly. Or like exactly. When someone's like, hey, look it, I got Doom running on a cell phone.
So that's actually,
well, maybe you shouldn't.
I mean, that's actually a good analogy, because the Wii is like a 10-year-old console now running Modern Warfare 3.
Yeah, and so if that's the thing, is I was so taken aback by how well it, like, you know, I wouldn't say how well, but like, you know, oh wow, scene for scene, the campaign is the same content. Multiplayer, wow, it's like the same unlocks, the same menus, you know, running at a low resolution, 10-on-10 instead of 12-on-12, 10 for players versus 12 players. But the thing is that when I spent a lot more time with it, and I thought maybe it was the IGN internet connection, so I tried it at my home internet connection, still having problems. It just has really bad lag problems, to where you have to aim ahead of people and stuff like that. And all the forums are like, oh yeah, you just got to relearn to lag shoot, dude. Like, this has been a problem. This has been a thing.
Were you posting? This is their advice to you?
No. I was reading a bunch of the forums. This has just been a thing since, you know, Black Ops on Wii. So this is just like, to them, it's like an unintentional feature, but to me it's just like really bad
weaving that web of bullshit is like a full-time job, which would afford you an Xbox, which you wouldn't have to deal with any of this.
Yeah, so I just that's the thing about it, is that it's
except I don't think they're making money off of
no they're not
when you try to convince themselves
time
they
is
like
money. If you're sitting at a message board and you're like, guys, don't worry, learn how to lag shoot. I will say though that Modern Warfare 3 on Wii is definitely worth playing, if only because it has some of the most awesome pop-in I've ever seen in a game.
So that's the other thing, is like, it has all the content. Like I said, when I first started playing it, that's everyone's reaction. Like, everyone walks over and they say, wow, this is like the full game. That's not bad. It actually doesn't look that bad for the Wii. But then they don't see the times where the frame rate drops to like 15 frames a second, or where there's pop-in where buildings magically blow apart and repair right in front of you.
Which is awesome, because we're used to pop-in where like textures appear, but
and that
here
happens
it's
all
like,
the time too.
Hey, look, that building looks cool. And then you walk 10 feet closer, and all of a sudden, the front of the building's missing, and then you walk 5 feet closer, and the whole thing's on fire. But then you walk back, like, and the building goes back together, and it's great.
Anthony, use the quote from Jurassic Park that sums it all up.
I said, I wanted to put it in my review, but I couldn't. There's no good way to do it without making my review really long, but I wanted to be like, Call of Duty on Wii is like perfectly summed up from that quote by Ian Malcolm when they're all sitting around the table eating. Mm-hmm. And he's like, You were all so busy thinking about whether you could, you never stopped to think you should.
You should just clip that part out and put it in just the video.
No.
Second, and just put your second opinions, and then it's just that one line.
Pretty good.
It's not bad if it's like the only thing you can get, but
you're right, it's not bad. Complete crap is what you called it.
I was being a little
overharsh. I know, we always do that.
I think it's okay.
I think
it's
your just, whole review should be Jurassic Park quotes.
It's just okay.
It just ends with
shooter.
Speaking of Jurassic Park, isn't that game coming out soon?
Yeah, next week.
Yeah, next week,
15th. Yeah. Are you reviewing it?
Yeah.
Oh man.
Yeah, I can't wait to get my hands on it. And we're spoiling how it ends.
To be fair, what you're playing is only the first episode, right? It's episodic.
No, remember they delayed it and they're putting it all out at once, I thought.
Oh, okay, that's cool. I didn't know
that. We'll see. I have my doubts. Yeah. I was at E3, I saw it for the first time running point to point, and then I saw it again at Comic-Con. I was like, I don't know about this. Mm. I don't know if the Telltale formula works for dinosaur action. But we will see.
So it's like a quick time dinosaur game, basically.
Kind of. You partially. There's adventure components.
Choose dialogue?
Yeah.
With who? The dinosaurs?
Yeah. It's like, they're smarter this time around. They really? Like that Sam and Max thing? No.
Ah.
Can we talk about NCIS yet?
Make sure.
NCIS came out this week. It's another game.
Are you playing this?
I already beat it. It's a four-hour game, a four-hour platinum.
360 and PS3 game.
It's days like that where I walk in the office and I'm like, there doesn't need to be one person playing this game, let alone two people. Two people at IGN, you and Peter Eichemans.
And Colin will play it soon, too.
Have completed NCIS.
Yeah, well, next time we just need to look up the trophies list early on and then tell one of you guys reviewing
I don't know if you ever... You should look through my reviews and see some of the bad games I review, and I'll tell you that if you ever see me attached to a game that's getting not looking good, a movie tie-in, I'm doing it for trophies. I'm doing it because I expect that game.
I know. I'm just saying we made poor Peter do it.
Yeah, that was silly. That was a dumb move.
And you said you played with move controls.
I did play with move controls.
So it's a point-and-click adventure. Mm-hmm. The 360 version doesn't use Kinect.
No. No, you have to use the controller.
But it's so dumb. Like, that would be a perfect use for Kinect.
Yeah. Not to mention,
it seems uses like, Move, but not Kinect.
It seems so like dumb. The type of people that own Kinect also might watch.
Exactly.
NCIS.
Yeah, yeah.
Exactly.
Or whatever it is.
NCIS. Yeah, and the type of people that make an NCIS game are stupid.
It's like somebody said, let's put L.A. Noir and Heavy Rain in the same game. But then they said, oh, God, we don't have that much time.
And then they said, let's just make it far too easy.
The game does a really good job of rewarding you constantly. Did you notice that?
Silver trophies left and right.
Go take a picture of that bullet hole in the wall and you walk
done.
Over and you
objective
take a picture.
Complete.
And it's like, that was a really good job you did back there. No boss does that.
But I heard, unlike L.A. Noir.
It's your job.
Unlike L.A. Noir, which came out for PC this week, that if you go and hunt for clues, like, you know, you can miss some and then that'll come to bat you back in the ass. This one, you cannot miss clues.
No.
They will not leave.
You won't advance until you've found all the torture devices.
Okay.
Take a photo of the noose. Like, it's, no. Like, the object. First off, I listened to podcasts while I played, so I didn't even listen to the story. I skipped every cutscene. And then when I would interrogate people, you just have to drag evidence. And they put the text, like, you know, I wasn't there. And then you have, like, a photo that shows she was there, so you just drag it down. And then, like, when you're interrogating them, the whole shtick is, like, you have to be quick to hit the button. It's a quick time event, but the button doesn't change. Like, I'm playing with Move, and I'm, like, listening to podcasts, I'm talking to Bartello, and I just had to look for the button, and then you hit the button. It's got a little countdown clock on it.
I couldn't multitask like that. Like, I couldn't listen to a conversation and play a game at the same time.
Well, you're not. Again, this isn't really playing a game.
I'm playing NCIS right now.
but I love
in the game when you walk in a room and there's a destroyed table in the middle of the room, shattered in pieces, bullets everywhere, and there's a dead guy laying on it, and they're like,
move the table.
They're like, let's find out if something happened here.
Yeah.
There's a man down in the middle of the room.
Towards the end, there's one mission where you have to move all these tables around to move around in an apartment. And then the best, though, is there's a couple times where there's a guy who has to lift up a girl for her to take photos and stuff.
They give you a trophy for pushing a cabinet 5 feet.
Yeah. There's a whole one. It's great. It's great. 4 hours, platinum, 1,000 achievement points. A 4.0 from IGN.com. But once Peter reviews it with the move, I'm sure it'll be a 10.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Greg, you know they patched Dead Island this week.
I heard.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Long list of fixes.
They upped the level cap. That's the
most
important.
Are you going to actually go back and play it?
Well, I mean, maybe eventually. Not anytime soon, because I've got Skyrim. I still have to finish Uncharted 3.
But your character is still stuck in that safe house.
safe being the keyword there.
I like to think about that in games, like when we abandon them for a long time, that they're still waiting for us. Like,
yeah.
My Animal Crossing town is destroyed, and SimCity is on fire because I haven't played it in 15 years.
See, that's one of the things I always wish. I wish they would do something about, like, example, I'm playing Zelda. I started my Wii up, and I haven't turned on the Wii in forever. And so I turned it on, and I really wish, like, my Miis would all be, not dead, but, like, you know, totally asleep, and I'd have to, like, stir them awake and stuff. You know?
Stir them awake.
What the hell do you do with the Wii?
I want mine to guys.
Are you okay?
Hey, Greg,
I gotta go get, like, a dish of water and bring it over to them.
I want him to be in little cryogenic chambers.
Yeah, you could grope them in their sleep.
Uh-huh. Jesus, damn it!
I'm just saying, this is what you're doing.
You got that big finger, yeah.
Greg, you're back. How long will you stay? Just the duration of Zelda, and then I'll never see you again. Will you come back after this, Daddy? No, nope, never again.
What if we can be ported to the Wii U?
No, you won't be coming. Sorry.
Yeah. Anyway, I don't know. We'll see if I make it back to Dead Island one of these days. But I am I'm finishing Uncharted 3. I'll probably finish Uncharted 3 this weekend. I think I'm on, like, chapter 18.
You enjoying it?
Yeah, you're
very
close.
Okay, good.
Yeah. So all three of you have played it and beat
it. Yes, crushed it.
And you all enjoy it, right?
Yes.
I know Greg does.
Yeah.
You told him to.
That PC show.
I gave it a 10 out of 10 on Metacritic.
Thank you.
The user score?
Yeah.
Good. So I just want to talk briefly about this. I am enjoying it very much. It is a peculiar game, though.
Sure.
Like, so a lot, there's, you know, the detractors out there will say it's not a game, you know, and that's dumb. That's the argument. However, it is more and more like an interactive movie than ever, I think.
Yes.
Like, so there's going to be a few spoilers here, just so you guys
are. Are they heavy light? Are we talking about
light.
Enemy names and stuff, or what?
That might be a spoiler for me. I don't know.
Enemy names?
I'm going to talk about something.
Pirate.
I'm just going to talk about.
Man in suit.
Talk about some brief level activity late in the game.
Okay.
So when you're wandering. Ready?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. So when you're wandering through the desert,
yeah,
there was like 5 minutes where I was playing the game one-handed.
Yeah.
Because you're just walking.
Yeah.
I mean, so it's like, at that point, it's like, what am I doing? And so much of the game is just like, press triangle to lift up this garage door, you know? Yeah. It's like...
Let me ask you something.
That's not like playing.
How thirsty were you during that desert scene? Like, you yourself. Nathan Drake lands in this desert. He's been through hell. He's incredibly thirsty. He's like, I just want some water. And he's seeing mirages everywhere. And then he doesn't get to drink water for like 3 hours.
Still long. A long time.
3 hours in game time. But like in his world, it's like, this is a huge battle like.
The first guy he killed that has
a
flat
team. Yeah.
I would have sat there and he would have like drank that dude and then drank that dude's blood afterwards. Just like every little bit of liquid he could get.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways, I see what you're saying.
It's just a bit strange. I don't remember Uncharted 2 being quite that.
No, and that's one of the reasons, like if you, in my review, I call out that section. I don't think I do it by name because I don't want to ruin the game for people. The desert section is one of my favorite sections because it is so unlike what normally happens in a game. You know what I mean? I do feel normally that I am being pushed into fight after fight after fight, and I thought that that was such a different break for him, and to see him hurt and lost and not know what's happening and freaking out and fucking tripping and, you know, all this other shit. I really enjoyed that, but I do totally get what you're saying, that you're just pushing the stick forward. It's not like anything's happening, but...
And then, I mean, I don't know. It's just interesting. It's like, it's very funneled, you know? It's like, the game keeps you on a very short leash.
Yes.
Sure.
Basically.
Yeah, it's trying to tell a story in a very specific way.
I made the argument that I kind of enjoy that. Like, I think we've had this, the last few years, the words, like, on rails have had a very negative connotation. Mm-hmm. And whereas we've spent since the N64 era, like, kind of pointlessly meandering around giant worlds where there's collectibles and objectives and...
Pointlessly, it might be a little harsh. Because if you ask me what I want to do in a video game, that's what I would want to do.
Right.
Well, I want to have the freedom to explore.
You just wrapped up Saints Row 3.
Yeah, so exactly.
It's kind of like, that's
and now I'm going to start Skyrim, which is even bigger and more open-ended.
So,
like,
playing Uncharted kind of in the middle of that is... It's different. Yeah,
exactly.
It's very streamlined.
I will say that I think it's really hard to tell a compelling or decent story with a game that isn't super linear.
Yeah, I totally agree.
But that's the thing. So there's amazing visuals in Uncharted 3. I love it. These are some spoilers. This is actually, it's only a spoiler if you're just going to hear about it before you see it.
Yeah, you're not going to ruin the story.
When the ship is sinking.
Oh my God.
When that ship is sinking and then you fall down the chandelier and then that giant window with like half of the water is up there. God, it's so awesome looking.
That was one of the best set pieces.
Like, there's at least two moments in the game where the camera like pans way back. It's when you're like climbing across the scaffolding, making your way to the ship, and then when you're on top of the ship, the thing. Those scenes are so cool.
Yeah. It's very movie-like.
The step that needs to be taken, if we're going to continue down this path of keeping you on a short leash and telling you a story, the story's still not really that amazing. Like, if that were a movie, like, it's not really that great.
It doesn't build to like a thrilling conclusion. Well, you're not there
yet. Well, it's just like video game stories in general. When we say a good video game story, we mean what would have been Transformers 3.
Kind of, yeah, exactly. Jesus. Like, the voice acting is really good, but the writing in the dialogue isn't that amazing.
Oh, wow.
I've also never seen a movie where half the time the main character is jumping in front of a wall hoping that he can hold on to it.
Yeah, I will say that I like
walking to walls he can't climb up and do the
There's a weird rule system in that game where it's just like, there will be walls it's like, oh, I can totally climb that, and you can't. And then other ones you're like, yeah, I got this.
I do think Uncharted 3 is an amazing game, but you're right. I think this one does keep you on the shortest leash, too, in the sense that... That even during the parts that make it seem like it's an open world, the camera is very much so tilting to say, like, this is the only way you can go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Especially during, like, any chase scene and stuff.
Well,
they make it really obvious.
The chase scenes where the camera's facing
Nathan. I hate facing cameras.
Yeah, I don't like that in any game,
yeah,
really.
Yeah, me neither. I've never been a fan.
Mm. I don't understand. Anytime you're running towards the camera, it's very trial and error. You have no idea what's ahead of you.
Yeah.
You can be as dodgy and quick-witted as possible, but it's just, it's never really worked for me. I'd be all for that being scrapped from video games forever.
For me, one of the things about Uncharted 3, right, is I said in the review that it was an experience kind of thing, and I enjoy it, but I understand all the detractors' problems with it, but I like that it exists in the way that I always think that, I like to think that, right, the industry grows in different directions, right? So that it's trying to be one of those things where there is anyone for anyone, or anything for everyone.
Yeah.
You know what I'm trying to say. Where you can go play Saints Row or Dead Island and not get stuck in a wall. And, enjoy, have these experiences, but then you can have a really funneled experience like this.
Sure.
Or
absolutely.
Like Heavy Rain. Heavy Rain was the same way, right?
Yeah,
like,
absolutely.
I mean, it wasn't like Heavy Rain, you're running around, you fucking had like four things to do in that room. And
what Uncharted does and what Heavy Rain did, which is very different than what the rest of the video game industry does, is that it gives you these characters that do not have like significant traits or power-ups or like trusty weapons. Like, you don't have your chainsaw gun, you don't have your Mario fireballs. There are no power-ups. There's no gun in, there's nothing you can upgrade in Uncharted.
Yeah, totally.
You have what's in your hands, and then it's gone.
And you have these superhuman jumping abilities and grasping abilities.
And then, and then you just run to the next scene, and you're like, shit, I hope there's a gun there, because if not, I have to punch a guy. Yeah. You're just yourself. You never have, you don't trade in, you don't upgrade your pants and get new cargo cloths or anything like that. The protective shield
scarf, t-shirt. Plus two.
Yeah, like, exactly. There's none of that, which is in every also, other game now.
Somebody needs to tell Nathan Drake to A, take a bath, and B, wash his fucking clothes. Mm-hmm. He goes through that whole game filthy.
He changes his clothes.
He's always filthy.
He's in the desert. It's sweaty.
No, even when he gets off the plane and arrives.
Yeah, he's already still sweaty. He's got that sweaty.
So
he's
the debate I was having with
They're
some of the one-up guys.
They're saying that foreign lands are dirty.
The debate I was having with some of the one-up guys was how many... This game, it seems like they did a really good job of making sure that Nathan Drake doesn't accidentally kill any innocent bystanders. And I disagree. I think that some people were probably killed as a result of some of his
actions. Well, sure. I'm sure there's parts like at the airport.
The guys at the airport are just hired security.
That's what I'm saying. It's like, he's like, my cousin, I will give you a job. I found a good job for you. It pays very well at the airport.
And why is Elena a mass murderer, too?
She's got to be.
She's a killer.
She rolls really? Deep.
This is what I always find interesting, because I love giving Uncharted shit for, like, you know, Drake's killed thousands of pirates. But I think this speaks to how real those characters feel sometimes. You know what I mean? That we're totally like, oh, the relationship's so cool, and I love how it's selling. And then we get hung up on the fact that he's jumping and grabbing all this shit, or he's killing a million pirates. Yeah. Like, it matters. Mario jumps on a fucking walking mushroom, and nobody cares.
Yeah, no, it doesn't make any sense to me. And then he goes underwater, and he's like, I can't breathe. I have to get air.
Like, yeah, right.
Why? You live in a world where dinosaurs can talk and steal people.
There's a couple moments in Uncharted 3 that I like that, where literally you just gotten shot 17 times and you take cover, and then, you know, it gets to a scene where the guy in the suit points a gun at you and shoots you once in the arm. Yeah. You're like, ah! All right, you win this round, you're playing gun.
He's in the corner, and there's a guy with a butter knife. He's like, I'll get you. And you're like, I just got shot by 80 pirates. 40 of them had fire faces, and I imagined them. Spoilers.
Or was it? This is what I've been doing to Mike Mitchell, my roommate. I keep talking about how, like, I keep going, like, this part's so frustrating. Mm-hmm. Just like how it's frustrating that Captain Marlowe drank from the cup of everlasting life. He's like, God damn it! Like, was that a real spoiler or a fake spoiler? You'll never know.
Anyway, very good game. I'm enjoying it.
Good.
I'll finish it this weekend. Let's check in with the listeners.
Hey, listeners.
Listeners, remember, you can always reach us at gamescoop@ign.com, just like Blair Bell did.
Ooh, good name.
Blair Bell says, Scoop! I'm currently making my way through the Steel Mill section of Batman Arkham City. Couldn't help but notice Joker's reference to the Lost ending in one of the cutscenes. This made me laugh. This was something very relatable. My question is, do you believe that in-game references to real-world things, such as TV shows, outside of the game world, adds or subtracts from the immersiveness and believability of the game?
So what's the reference?
It needs to be...
He's talking about the ending. Like, it didn't make any sense.
He's referencing
they ended up
how...
in a church?
Yeah, he's...
Lost. Yeah. Okay, got it.
He needs to make subtle. I haven't seen the ending a lot, so it didn't have any, it didn't do anything for me. I was like, okay, cool, whatever.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's a reference to, you know, that they're summing up the Batman story there or whatever, and then, you know, it's like that. I like it. That's always been my thing. I'm like, product placement can be terrible, right? Mm-hmm. Like, in I Am Legend, it's horrible when Will Smith puts his foot on the table, cleans off his Converse, and goes, oh, vintage 2009, or whenever that movie came out. Like, why would that be vintage 2009?
Yeah.
But, I used to watch.
I love that movie.
Even in the apocalypse, I love Shrek.
I used to
also Coca-Cola.
You'd watch like Saved by the Bell or whatever, and they'd be drinking cola, and they'd be like, "No one drinks that. Why not just put a can of Coke in there?"
I love beer commercials where the guys hold the beer can at the very bottom, and they're asking questions. They're like, "Hey, cool party, man. It's just weird that we have to hold this thing here so everyone can see the logo the whole time."
Yeah, yeah. I think it's fine, and I like that. Was not it wasn't an overt beat you over the head reference. It was just a funny little, oh yeah, that's something Joker would say.
Yeah, that stuff doesn't bother me. What's maybe a little strange about it is that game doesn't take place in our world. Like, Gotham City doesn't exist.
Yeah,
show Lost exists in their world.
Yeah, when you watch watch that kind of stuff, why wouldn't it? What, you don't know, they don't have TV in DC Universe?
They do, but they have the same shows that we have, apparently.
So, yeah, so.
Okay.
They didn't say Lost.
Does the Joker really have time for a 106-hour long?
I know. Imagine him watching it. Well,
he spends a lot of time in jail. And when you spend that much time in jail, what does he do?
They show you lost in jail?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, they don't. We went to his
jail.
He
breaks out every other week, all
right? For Lost.
This is Kevin.
What's happened to Jack?
Kevin T.
I don't like his name.
Why can't every game have the option between first and third person views? The technology has been good enough for many years for devs to do this. We're not in the 8-bit days anymore when only third person view is possible. I would love to play Call of Duty, Halo, Metro Prime, Killzone, Crisis in third person, but they won't let me. I personally think every game should have first or third person view options. It should be a standard feature across every
Anthony's
game.
Anthony's horribly offended.
Love to hear your opinions on the air. Oh, he says it should be a standard feature, just like the ability to save your game and have a pause button.
No, these are not the same.
You couldn't pause Patapon for a long time.
You have to fundamentally change your whole design. Not to mention the animators and everything would have to spend way more time all of a sudden making a character in first person that looks like he's realistically climbing a ladder, because they don't worry about shit like that in a campaign mode. And plus, they have to think about where you're going to look, designing a camera that fucking works. You're basically saying everyone should do twice the work.
Yeah. You have to create the character model, like create the animations.
People never really understand that with art. Like, I'll do something, and they'll be like, cool, can you draw him from the side or behind? And I'm like, well, that's an entirely different pose. Like, it's a whole new thing. For a character model, you have to design that from all angles, and in some games they don't
even need to do that. Right, the technology's been available for years.
Yeah, it's easy. We might as well use it.
For instance, there's a reason why you don't play third-person Dead Island, because what they designed to look like a cool swing in first-person looks idiotic in third-person.
Yeah, play multiplayer.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
There you go.
The answer is no.
Enjoy what you got. If you don't like it, don't buy it, and then they'll have to change it.
Sure. This is Fernando Rodriguez.
Fernando Rodriguez.
My question, he says, my question is not one of gaming. Just something I've been wondering. What are your musical guilty pleasures? Mine would have to be listening to the Backstreet Boys and knowing all the words to their songs. Keep it real. I don't really believe in guilty pleasures.
Exactly.
Like, if you like something, own it.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, the closest Taylor Greg would have, I was going to say, is Taylor Swift, but it's obviously not that guilty.
I know, tell everybody about it. Supporter.
I listen to all kinds of trashy pop music because I enjoy it.
Yeah,
like, I really like Katy Perry, but I don't feel guilty about it.
Yeah, I don't know if that's a guilty pleasure.
Yeah.
It's just sort of like it comes on and you don't turn it off.
All right, so that's how we feel about that. this is Ava. My name is Ava. I've been attempting to play Half-Life 2 for over a year. Every time I play it, or other first-person shooters, I feel motion sick after an hour. There are fantastic first-person shooters that I want to play. I especially want to finish Half-Life, since it's so monumental. But the idea of feeling ill makes me inclined not to play them at all. Are there any tips or advice for how to overcome this defect, or am I doomed to play Half-Life and all other FPSs in one-hour increments?
The idea of feeling ill makes me ill. I'm ill!
Ginger pills are what I hear helps motion sickness the best.
That's absolutely correct.
Really?
I did some research with a prestigious university called About.com.
They have a good Florida recipe.
Several tips here, but actually, ginger pills are apparently supposed to be the best. Work tremendously well and don't have
any... I thought you said gender pills for a second.
Well, that's a different thing.
No, either. Don't do that.
They don't have any side effects. You can also try what wristbands called C-bands that they give people on cruise ships to help with motion sickness.
Mm-hmm. Could she not turn down sensitivity even? Or am I generally...
Hold on. We've got several tips.
Sorry, Damon. I didn't know it was just your show.
The C-bands put pressure on a nerve in your wrist, and it sends motion sickness signals to your brain. I don't know how it works. That just,
When the Mythbusters did a show about it, ginger pills were determined to be the best. Mm-hmm. Over Dramamine and other prescriptions.
Exactly. Other just simple tips is sit farther away from your TV, turn on more lights. Some people that experience the same thing say that your body can get used to it after repeated sessions, which is a pattern of playing and getting sick, stopping, and then restarting later when you feel better. And your brain will finally realize that what you are seeing and doing isn't actually harming you.
Wow.
Of course, that process of getting used to it can take a while and isn't pleasant.
So torture yourself into being good.
My recommendation is eat a bunch of Jack in the Box, sit down, and just play until it all comes back out.
Jesus Christ!
First off, you're getting a free diet.
Just play.
You're getting to eat whatever you want, and
just
you're getting used to your games.
Just play the Mario Brothers. Don't worry about it. Play something else.
The Mario Brothers.
Go play the Mario Brothers. Can we talk about Mario Brothers for a second?
Sure.
Super Mario Land 3D.
Yeah.
S? Just 3D, thank right?
you. Super Mario 3D.
Super Mario Land. 3D Land.
Yeah. 3D Land. Sorry, I apologize, everybody.
Brothers World.
9.5 on IGN.com. Yeah. I'm going to take home a 3DS to play it on Thanksgiving. Are you upset that you are not able to play it at all? Because the 3D, as Audrey Drake put in her review, is mandatory at sections.
Yeah, I'm bummed about it. Because that's like the one Nintendo game I've been interested in and excited about.
If you read other reviews online, people say the direct opposite, that the 3D is not mandatory.
I've heard mixed things. I'll have to check it out for myself, but I've heard mixed things. Brian told me it doesn't matter. Audrey says it does.
I've played about 3 hours. I've played mostly with the 3D off, and I don't think it will be an issue for me.
Have you gotten to the points where it says 3D in the corner?
Yeah, there's these strange little rooms that sort of look like... Strange little rooms that kind of look like those M.C. Escher paintings where it's like you can't tell which way the stairwells are going. So you have a button you can toggle between 2D and 3D, but there's probably ways around that. And it's to get a coin, like in the grand scheme of things.
Hmm. It's not necessary.
You'll be fine. It's just a coin. You'll be fine. Play with the brothers. Play the Mario brothers.
The only problem to me is that you have to own a 3DS.
Buzzing.
Whoa.
I'm looking forward to the redesign for that thing.
So that's the thing is right now at this point, and at this point, if I'm going to save the $200 of buying it with the game, I'm saving it towards a Vita. Mm-hmm.
There's no Mario on Vita though.
But there's Reality Fighters. I'll take your photo and you'll fight with me. We're having fun. Reality Fighters on the PS Vita.
Wow, that's a great jingle right there.
I'm going to tell you ahead of time that game's going to be trash.
Take your photo and you fight with me. I've played it several times. It's not good.
Reality Fighters on PSP.
Something's happening outside. Damon's making faces.
There's kids just walked by with a wagon full of packages. I think they're delivering packages to people today.
Is it Christmas? Wow.
Just in case you're wondering, IGN does employ child labor.
Mm-hmm. Parents just whipping them, and they're like pulling a slate. Anyways.
It's all the money for the Call of Duty review you did.
Yeah. Right? We bought children to just make IGN shirts.
We hired kids to go on Metacritic.
Greg.
Yeah.
Surprised a little bit that you're going to be playing Skyrim this weekend because you hate fantasy.
Well, it's like
you hate space.
Yeah, see, that's the thing. There's exceptions to my space rule. It's true. And I really enjoyed the Fallout games. So,
why do you hate space? That count as? What does Fallout count as?
Well,
it's not fucking space.
It's not fucking space. Do you want to talk? Do you want to just keep attacking me like a defenseless dove?
Yeah,
I stopped. Into your life. I stopped your life brighter. And now you're just kicking it out.
I stopped. I've shut up. I want to hear you try and talk your way out of this.
Asshole.
I like Fallout a lot. So I'm going to give this one a shot. And everything I've seen for this one makes me excited. Like, usually, yeah, it's the whole dragon thing I don't like. Whatever. Stupid medieval times. But I like being able to make my own character, make my own destiny. I'm going to make a hot girl. I'm going to play in third person. I'm going to use a shield. Yeah.
Why don't you like medieval times?
I don't know. It's never, ever really stuck with me. I wanted to like Game of Thrones. And I liked a little bit I saw. But I kept sawing, the week that it would take to watch the next one, I'd forget everything from the next. I can't remember names or anything. Me and David need to marathon them. We keep saying this. We're going to do it one day.
What about space? Why don't you like space?
Space. Anytime we start introducing alien species, I start losing interest just because it becomes less and less believable to me.
What?
That's my whole thing. Sorry. Yeah, it's true. Like, that was my problem with Mass Effect 1. I'm running around the Citadel, and there's, like, a bunch of goofy aliens there.
But you like Batman, though.
I know.
Batman's about a dude who fights
who's a human being on the planet Earth.
Who fights a man made of clay who can turn into anything.
But he was a normal man at one point.
And a penguin.
This is my whole reason I'm not liking the new Superman comics, because he's an alien.
I would also like to clarify that you like Green Lantern.
Oh, no, yeah, I'm totally... I go back and forth on these roles all the time. Now, the Green Lantern thing, that's an interesting story. I'm glad you brought that up. If you remember, Anthony, I wasn't a big Green Lantern fan until Hal Jordan went crazy, killed all the Green Lanterns, and they made one Green Lantern, Kyle Rayner, who was Earth-based. Then I was cool with it, but now they have the Green Lantern core back. I don't read that shit. Fuck off.
Squirrel Green Lantern?
Yeah, he's cute, but I don't read his stories. I don't care. There's a fucking planet Green Lantern. Get out of here.
You're a DC fan.
Yeah.
Do you like the new DC?
I don't know yet.
Okay.
I like a lot of things in it. Yeah. I like Animal Man a lot. Swamp Thing's good.
Animal Man?
What's Animal Man?
Is it like Manimal?
No, it's not like Manimal at all. This is a long story.
Why didn't they call him Animan?
All right, anyways. I like Batman, but the Superman books I'm not a fan of. They're not doing well. And I don't like... Teen Titans is terrible. And
dude, shut the fuck up and go
really
back
cool.
to Animal Man. What's going on? What does he do? Does he turn into animals?
He's got animal powers. He can like, you know, if he wants the speed of a jaguar, he has the speed of a jaguar.
Can he be as big as a blue whale?
All right, we're not talking about that.
I just want to know about Animal Man.
Can he sleep on your lap like a cat?
Of course. He does that every night. Right now, his daughter, spoilers, is communicating with dead animals, and she can bring skeleton, like they woke up one night.
She's a necromancer?
Yeah, she was out in the yard. All the dead animals from her town were like walking towards her, and she was petting someone.
Just for animals, though.
I don't care what you are. Necromancers cannot be trusted.
Well, we're going to find out. Well, continue to read Animalland.
The whole reason I brought this up, Greg, is because Paul Spranger's from the Netherlands shares your sentiments about fantasy.
Okay.
He says, I'm so tired of these fantasy games like Skyrim. It's not imaginative. I have the same aversion to this type of fantasy as Greg has to space. Be original for once and ditch the orcs, trolls, dwarves, elves, and dragons and come up with something new.
I agree.
It's not really fantastical if you reuse the same old world some geezer thought up 700 years ago so we can entertain some villagers who then give him a place to sleep.
This is true.
This is a good rant.
You know why he wants everyone to ignore this? Because he comes from the Netherlands where people still live with orcs and elves and everything. He doesn't want people to figure out the truth.
Welcome, we live with the elves. Slurgen,
it is a little, I do agree that it's odd that every fantasy game includes the same creatures and races.
That's a good point.
What would a new one be?
Well, I don't know. You have make it up.
That's when I start to lose interest. Like, even in Zelda, I'm talking to the fucking Weebles or whatever the hell they are. You know what I'm talking about. Played this. These dumb fucking gumdrop people with noses. Like, fucking tell me where Zelda is or I will stab you to death. That's what Link should say, but he doesn't. Instead, he runs around looking for him.
Mm-hmm. Fucking tropes. Gumdrop people. The reason they use them is because they're immediately easy for people to understand.
I agree there should be a new one.
I'm not saying there can't be new ones. You know, I'm just saying that they use them for a reason.
Same five character stereotypes. It's like the cover of a community college handbook or something where there's the Asian kid and the guy in the wheelchair and the blonde girl.
A black kid.
We need him. And then the Spanish guy.
Diversity.
Diversity.
Yeah.
We need more lore diversity. We need like a man beaver or something like that.
Anthony, I made a zing at your ethnicity, but you didn't hear it, so now I just sound like a racist.
Antonio?
So just say yeah. Ha, ha, ha.
No, redo it.
No, I can't remember anymore.
Redo.
It's done. You have to listen to the episode now.
He ends his rant with, if there's one thing games from Japan do right these days.
Japan.
It's being more creative with their game worlds.
Oh, yeah, yeah. You just lost all credibility.
That's what he says. He says Western fantasy is just not interesting at all.
RPGs are doing way more than JRPGs.
Yeah, because JRPGs have been really creative since, like, 1990.
Andy's making a funny face right now.
They've done the same shit. They, you know what they do? They just take an elf and they make it look more feminine. And they're like, wow, that's creative. Fuck off.
Fuck off what, Japan?
No, fuck off this guy from the Netherlands.
I'm still with him.
It's Paul Spranger.
Paul Spranger.
His name was Paul Spranger.
Paul, you're only allowed to write in as this guy from the Netherlands.
Say hello to all your friends in Sweden.
I don't know what that means.
Anthony hates Sweden. He despises it.
Anthony went to Sweden this year.
Yeah.
Complained about it the whole time.
They have Legend of Zelda money there. They got money with pictures of birds on it.
They got rupees? Giant gems?
They do pay like $4.50 for a Coke there. It's just crazy.
It's expensive.
This is Mina Smith. This is in response to an email we had last week asking about how far we sit from our TVs and how big they are.
Yeah.
Mina says there's actually a formula to determine the couch distance for your TV size. The formula is C2TVD equals 1.8664 times TVW.
Great. Fuck up, nerd.
C2TVD equal is short for couch to TV distance in inches.
Uh-huh.
TVW means width of your TV. So it's the distance to your TV in inches equals 1.8664 times the width of your TV in inches.
Wow.
Cool.
Yeah, because you can trust scientists.
It says, this is suggested healthy distance for your eyes while being able to watch both video games and movies comfortably.
Whatever.
There you go.
Math.
Now we know.
And how close was she sitting to her computer monitor when she wrote this? That's the real question.
That is a good point.
A couple more emails here. Douglas Herlong.
Hello, Douglas. It's a Doug reference. If you didn't catch the.
Over the years, as new generation consoles come out, retail prices for games double each time. You understand what you just said there?
Wait, retail prices for games double.
He says they went from $15 to $30 to $60.
That is not the jump.
I know. When do games cost $15?
Let's be clear.
Yeah, hold on. I bought Mortal Kombat for Genesis for $85 when it came out.
I bought Bionic Commando on the NES for $54.99 from KB Toys.
Yeah. Let's be clear.
Rest in peace, KB Toys.
I had this argument with Stephen Ng, who works here, the other day. You are factually wrong if you think that video games are not at the cheapest they've ever been.
Yeah.
They are the cheapest they've ever been.
Yeah.
And you may think, like, oh, Bejita said he paid $54.99 for Bionic Commando, but that was when... At the
like
when,
87,
when the U.S. dollar was worth way, way more. So
and he couldn't
inflation.
Even jump.
So yes, the video games are quite literally the cheapest they've ever been.
Yeah,
and they're packed with more than they've ever had.
Exactly, you are factually wrong.
Get a job. Stop crying.
Yeah. So his question is, if we think the prices will keep doubling, but that's just not.
No, come on, Douglas.
Not only that, but I'll be honest. In America, we have it the easiest. Because we pay like $59.99 American, mm-hmm. and other countries pay the equivalent, but it's not the equivalent.
And
like
our money
Japan,
doesn't have birds
like in
on
Japan,
it.
When they buy the Vita, they're paying way more than we are for the Vita.
Yeah. So we Australia
got,
too.
Yeah, so we got it. Nice.
It's if they even get it in Australia, half the games don't even come there.
Yeah,
when they do, there's no blood.
We got it nice, man. I'm sure people that hear us complain all the time in America, like that dude that from Israel that writes in all the time.
Yeah.
Like that dude's got to be like fuck everyone. His games probably cost him like $120 mm-hmm. each. So,
and I have to say. Amazon's 99-cent release day delivery is
awesome.
Greatest thing
so
ever.
Awesome.
There's
amazing.
No reason to ever go. If you complain about GameStop, stop. Just why
not buy all of your games from Amazon? It's just mm-hmm. it's perfect.
I've never had
They'll
a release
deliver
date
it
delivery.
To you.
I just had Skyrim delivered this morning.
Day of release for 99 cents.
And
it's
I've
amazing.
Never had it not happen.
Yeah.
So
amazing.
This podcast is sponsored by Amazon.com.
Our last email of the week comes from LazyBones 9000.
LazyBones.
Now we all know. We all know that Greg and Damon are...
Greg kind of killed me there.
We all know Greg and...
Crazy bones!
We all know Greg and Damon are the Tango and Cash of IGN.
Lazy bones.
I'm just wondering if Jackie Brown and Portillo have ever met.
Oh, wow.
I think they have, because Portillo's been over to my place.
But hold on, if you two are the Tango and Cash...
I'm the dog.
That implies, though, that you guys did not get along at first.
We didn't.
Well... It took. We weren't best friends at first.
I thought Damon would be cool, and the first time I ever said, "I'm like, the voice, say scoop," and he went, "No," and I thought, "This guy's a dick."
And then we were riding in the car, someone's car for lunch, going to lunch. Someone's driving us to lunch, and Greg goes,
"I worked here for a while.
This is like months in. And he goes, "I like you, Damon, but we don't have anything to talk about."
And look at us now, besties.
Even though we still don't have anything to talk about,
mm-hmm.
but I think Portillo and Jackie Brown have met. But, you know, I think they're both animals that don't have any animosity towards the other species.
Exactly, Portillo's lived with cats several times.
Do they have animosity?
Jackie lives with me. It's just me and Jackie. She hasn't ever really been around dogs, so she doesn't know how to be afraid of them.
See, my cat on the other hand never grew up around dogs either, but she fucking hates them.
She learned it from watching you, Dad.
Your cat is mean. I mean, right? Is that not a true statement?
I don't know. What do you think, Brian?
Your cat's a total dickhole.
Ew.
I hate your cat. No, I just don't.
That's
like
just
her.
From basically stories you've told me.
You don't like my cat?
We don't get along. Your cat's an asshole, dude. Your cat runs out of your house every time you open the door. He meows constantly.
She
meows constantly. I can't tell if it's a he or a she. It's a terrible cat. The redeeming
thing about
your cat...
It's walking around in a mustache Brian. And evening dress.
I need you to stop.
I do like that your cat sleeps on a blanket that has pictures of cats doing things. That's really cool.
I'll say this. Your cat is very cute. I've seen pictures. Your cat is cute.
Because I want a blanket that has pictures of me doing things on it while I sleep to remind me.
When is your birthday? I'll make you that.
March 26th.
I'm going to make you a slanket.
A slanket
with pictures of you doing all your
just
favorite things.
Just eating pizza and going outside.
Drinking vodka.
Puking, just throwing up.
And I'm sleeping and I'm like, the busier times.
That's all the scoops we have for this week. If you guys are playing Skyrim this weekend or Modern Warfare 3.
Or Rayman, please.
Well, it's not out yet.
They can't play it
this weekend. Well, I'm talking about games that are out now.
Fine.
Whatever you're playing this weekend, enjoy yourselves.
NCIS.
Thank you, Greg. Thank you, Brian. Thank you, Anthony. My name is Damon. This is IGN Game Scoop, and we're out. Come get some.
IGN Gamescoop. Hey there, this is Justin Bartha. I made a funny new podcast, King of the Egg Cream. It has the greatest cast in the history of podcasts with actors like Louis Black.
I'm torn by my feelings for two women.
Bobby Cannavale.
You can eat it, or if someone hits you, you can put it on your cut.
Melanie Lynskey.
I wonder what these marvelous things are that look just like boiled chicken feet.
Jason Ritter.
I can break things and pick locks and kill people.
Michael Stuhlbarg.
The whole point is to inspire people that they should make themselves better.
Ari Grainer.
No, don't whet its appetite. What are you, an idiot?
Me, Justin Bartha.
That's not just any egg cream. That's a Lemke special.
And all narrated by the hilarious Richard Kind.
This is the story of Harry Dalowitz and how he rose from nothing to become New York's King of the Egg Cream.
So if you like funny true stories, come listen to King of the Egg Cream, available wherever you get your podcasts.